Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I'm the senior minister and spiritual director here at this center. And I'm so happy you're here with us, and including those who join us in our virtual space, and including those of us who are out riding our bikes and climbing mountains and enjoying the spring sun. It's gorgeous out there. I was just telling a few folks before service, man, my new home sure is lovely. Yeah, wow. This is a beautiful city. I'm digging it. So this entire month, we're looking at the theme of renewal of our humanity. And in particular, that unlimited, incredible capacity we have for goodness, to feel and express and share into the world our compassion, our understanding, forgiveness, generosity, kindness, love, all these things that are the best of us, that are our best humanity, and that we get to express into the world. And I wanted to look at this month, well, one, because it's spring, so it's a time of renewal, but I specifically chose humanity because sometimes we forget how good we are. Sometimes we forget how good all other people really are, especially when we see parts of them that we don't like, parts of ourselves we don't like. But that's our humanity, and we can express more and more of it and renew it. So last week we looked at the cycle of life and the renewal of the spirit within, because of course that spirit within is the source of all of that astounding humanity that we possess. So last week we looked at that, and this week I want to look at who are we becoming? Who are we becoming as we renew our spirit and desire to express more of that humanity? You know, that goodness in us is always seeking a fuller expression, right? You know, because we are of the one spirit, we are of its goodness. And just as we need a body to experience life and grow and learn, spirit needs its body, its creation, to live and experience its life. So we are part of God or spirit as part of its body, experiencing its life. And because we are that, and because spirit is all good, that means our essence is all good, our humanity is good, and we get to express more and more of that. As we experience this constant stream of joys and challenges in life, we grow more into that becoming. We grow more into who we are meant to be, as Lori so beautifully shared with us. And who doesn't want to be a better human being, right? Not that we're bad and we want to be good, no. We are already good because we are of spirit. We want to be even better. We want to be more compassionate, understanding, and forgiving. We want to be stronger, wiser, kinder. We want to help express or spread more justice and equity and peace in the world. We want to live a more principle-based life. American psychologist and author Roger K. Allen wrote this of our becoming as humans. I think of it as a process of growth into a more mature human being, someone able to bring his or her best, though imperfect and evolving, self to the situations and challenges of life. We become through the experience of living, if open, self-reflective, willing to take responsibility and connect with the deeper part of ourselves. So who are you becoming? What is your growing edge? Our growing edges can help us feel or know where our next becoming lies. What is your growing edge in this moment? Perhaps it's bumping up against people who have a different worldview and it's calling us into deeper understanding. Perhaps it's being in the midst of conflict with someone we care about and we're being called to be more compassionate and forgiving. Perhaps somebody we love is stuck in the same old story that they like to tell over and over, and we are being called to become more patient. My growing edge right now, today, in the last little while, is to frankly just be a better friend. I have several friends who are in the midst of difficult situations, challenging situations, and I'm being called to be kinder with them. And what that means for me is to share more of my time and attention with them. And why this is my growing edge is because throughout most of my life, I'm rather protective of my time. But my friends need more of my time right now. So in this moment, that is my growing edge, to share my time and attention with them even when I'm tired. So I'm going to ask all of you to just spend a few seconds now contemplating, who are you becoming right now? What part of your astounding humanity are you becoming more of? Whatever the answer, know this: you are already that. Who you are becoming, you already are. Because it would not call to you if it did not already live and exist within you. These qualities that make us human, so astoundingly and beautifully human, are not qualities that we have to exist, not qualities that we have to look out there somewhere and find them. They're not qualities that we can destroy. We cannot destroy our humanity, no matter our past unforgiveness, our past unkindness, our past pettiness. We cannot destroy these qualities of our humanity, no matter what, no matter the mistakes, no matter how inhumane we might have been at some time. We cannot destroy it because it is the very essence of who we are, right? We can and do cover it up. We get pretty good at that sometimes. But who we are becoming, we already are. It is necessary that we be willing to let this process of becoming unfold, to always keep becoming more and more, or more fully expressing. As we go through life and we constantly change, as we constantly become more or fuller expression, not really more, I should say fuller expressing who we are, there's a part of us that is always changeless. And of course, that is the spirit within. So we are changeless and constantly changing at the same time. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote, "Everyone's real nature is spiritual, is of God. The only thing about it that can change is that which ought not to be permanent. Though the real self is changeless, we live in a changing world. It is wonderful to know that something permanent, substantial, and eternal stands in the midst of our being, and, I believe, watches with joy the eternal unfoldment taking place." That is our becoming, that continual foldment of what we already are. And a big part of it comes through that process that I talked about last week, that cycle of life where we're living, life is good, and then we hit up against some difficult situations, things that feel like those small deaths, those emotional deaths. But then we're resurrected, we're born again, we remember to turn away from those false beliefs and turn toward the truth. We let go of the old way of being, and we let ourselves be born again into a new way of being. That's all part of this becoming. The philosopher Henry Bergson wrote, "For a conscious being, to exist is to change. To change is to mature. To mature is to go on creating oneself endlessly." We get to endlessly create ourselves or recreate ourselves. We do this when we exercise our resiliency and overcome adversity, right? Because life is beautiful and difficult, and some of those difficult challenges, we're hurt, we feel pain, we put up shields, we create these personas that we think will protect us in our public lives. We feel pain from these experiences, and we have a choice when we've come through those adversities. We can stay stuck in the pain and the bitterness, or we can choose to let it become or be part of our becoming, right? We can learn from them. We just like, man, I really screwed that up. But you know what? Next time, maybe I'll be a little more understanding when somebody else screws up. Right? Or we experience some pain, or we create pain for other people. It can be part of our becoming when we're more forgiving of ourselves and we remember, oh, I get to be kinder. I get to be more loving, even with this person who's driving me crazy, right? We get to be more accepting. We get to make that decision when we've faced adversity and pain. And because who we are becoming is what we already are, and it can't be destroyed, and like I said, we don't have to create it, but we can cover it up. And if we can cover it up in our becoming, we need to uncover it. We need to shed those things that hide it, right? We get to shed the unforgiveness. We get to shed the pain or the shame and the guilt, right? Besides, guilt has no place in becoming, right? Shame and guilt just have no place in our becoming. We get to shed or drop the shields. We get to shed the personas that we think are protecting us. And while we're doing all this, we get to take to heart and do what Jesus said when he said, "You must be born again." In his language, like I said last week, it means to be born again in our minds. To be born again means to change our thinking and our thoughts and our attitudes and our beliefs. That's what born again really means. So as we become, we get to shed those old thoughts, those old attitudes. We get to shed the pettiness and the anger. We get to shed the unforgiveness towards ourselves and others. We get to shed the self-ridicule and the feelings of not being enough. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Two thoughts cannot occupy the attention of the same mind at the same instant. Neither can hatred and love occupy the same heart at the same time. So when hatred leaves, love will automatically take its place." When we shed what is unlike that which we are becoming, the thing we are becoming automatically takes its place because it's already there. That's why we talk so much around here about revealing who we are more than creating who we are. And a rather difficult, perhaps the most difficult part of shedding those things that don't support our becoming is shedding toxic relationships. It can be incredibly difficult. And it is very sad, but sometimes there are those in our lives who so oppose who we are becoming that it has become toxic. And it is really sad. But some people are afraid of our becoming because they might be in fear that our compassion, our understanding, our love, our forgiveness, our kindness, our generosity are pies, and they are not. They might believe that our becoming more of that humanity, more of that goodness that we are, can somehow create scarcity. It cannot, because it's unlimited. And I'm sure like many of you who've been around this block we call life a few times, know that it's sometimes necessary to release these toxic relationships. I've had to do it a few times. And it is really hard, and it's really sad. I still love them. I still care about them. I still pray for them, but they're not in my life. This can be one of the hardest parts of this becoming. It's the part that might take the most courage. The flip side of that is we surround ourselves with people who know who we are becoming and support it. We get to bring those people into our life. We get to call those people into our life and have those relationships. And we get to do that for others and support them in their becoming. That's what we do here. And I'm sure you have family and friends who get it. So surround yourself with those people. And we get to be that for ourselves. We get to be gentle with ourselves in our becoming. We get to be gentle and forgiving with ourselves when we perhaps take what looks like a step backwards. But in thinking about this, you know, I had originally thought, well, you know, like so many things, we take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, and that's okay. But then I thought, you know what? That's not what this is. It's not a line that we go, or a path we go forward and back, forward and back, forward and back, kind of like the stock market this week. Do not look at your 401k statement. That's that's my self-care this week, as I'm just not looking at it. Okay, so I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not going to look at it today. But what it really is, it's not a line. It's an upward spiral. We're always moving up. This trajectory of becoming and growing into our humanity is always an upward spiral. You can't go backwards. And it spirals because sometimes part of that spiral is in more light, it feels easier, and sometimes that spiral is in the darkness, and it feels difficult, and it feels a little bit like one of those small deaths, right? But it's always upward. So be gentle with yourself when you're in the dark side of that revolution around yourself. And celebrate the successes. No matter what they are, it could be, you know what? Today I stopped and spoke with my homeless neighbor. I was kinder today than I was yesterday. For me, perhaps I got through an entire phone call with my brother without letting him know how absolutely crazy his political views are. I was more understanding and accepting today than I was last time we spoke, right? Right. We can be like the person lying in bed and praying and saying, "Dear God, today was a really good day. It's been a really awesome day. I haven't been petty or greedy. I haven't ridiculed myself. I haven't judged anybody. I haven't gotten angry at anybody. It's been a really good day, and I'm really quite darn proud of myself. But I'm about to get out of bed now. And I could really use your help." You know, you got to take those small wins where we can, right? Who knows? Maybe when you went to bed, the person lying next to you now was not the recipient of your higher self. So maybe being in bed 5 minutes and not taking action on that is a win. And this becoming is a continual process, right? We are never done. Carl Rogers says, "A person is a fluid process, not a fixed and static entity," which I think is a great thing because it means no matter how much love we express, we have more to express. No matter how much we grow into our astounding humanity, we can be more humane. No matter how much we share all these good qualities ourselves, it's just always upward and upward and upward. So I think we can celebrate that. We have eternal life, right? It's always an upward evolution. Father Gregory Boyle, he's a Catholic priest who has devoted his ministry to working in some of the toughest, poorest neighborhoods of LA, quite a bit of gang violence. And Father Gregory shares the story of George. George is a young man, a gang member, got into some trouble, and he was sentenced to spend some time at a camp for juvenile offenders. And while there, George underwent quite a transformation. He got his GED. He transformed from a man that had that tough, macho gang persona into quite a tender man, knowing that he was possessed of gifts and skills. And while there at the camp, he decided he wanted to be baptized. And he asked Father Gregory to do the baptism. The night before the baptism, George's older brother, Cisco, was killed in some gang violence. So Father Gregory goes to the camp the next day to say Mass, to baptize George, and he writes this about the baptism and about his interaction with George. "It is the most difficult baptism of my life, for as I pour water over George's head, Father, Son, Spirit, I know I will walk George outside alone after and tell him what happened. As I do, and I put my arm around him, I whisper gently as we walk out onto the baseball field, 'George, your brother Cisco was killed last night.' I can feel all the air leave his body as he heaves a sigh that finds itself a sob in an instant. We land on a bench. His face seeks refuge in his open palms, and he sobs quietly. Most notable is what isn't present in his rocking and gentle wailing. I've been in this place before many times. There is always flailing and rage and promises to avenge things. There is none of this in George. It is as if the commitment he just made in water, oil, and flame has taken hold, and his grief is pure and true and more resembles the heartbreak of God. George seems to offer proof of the efficacy of this thing we call sacrament, and he manages to hold all the complexity of this great sadness right here on this bench in his tender weeping. I had previously asked him in the baptismal rite, "Do you clearly understand what you are doing?" And he paused, and he revved himself up in a gathering of self and soul and said, "Yes, I do." And yes, he does. In the monastic tradition, the highest form of sanctity is to live in hell and not lose hope. George clings to his hope and his faith and his GED and chooses to march resilient into his future. George probably did some things in his past that were not from his humanity, but he chose to renew his spirit. He chose to be born again into his higher self. He chose to renew and express his humanity. George knew who he was becoming. Each one of us knows who we are becoming as we continually spiral upward, expressing more and more of our astounding humanity. Let's pray. I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand with me. There is only one life. There is only one thing going on in this universe. It is that one unconditional loving expression, constantly creating, constantly experiencing itself in, through, and as its expression is the only thing that has ever happened, is happening now, or ever can or will happen. It is that one life experiencing itself through its creation, through our humanity. We are part of it. We are its body. Each and every human that ever has been, is now, ever will be, is part of that one life experiencing itself. And I know and declare that every single one of us, every human within the sound of my voice, every human who has ever lived, lives now, is capable of this humanity, regardless of past mistakes, regardless of past errors, past thinking. Every person on an upward spiral expressing our astounding humanity. And I celebrate that humanity because I know that every day there's more and more and more of it in our world. Through us, we are the ones. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that one life chose to express itself through us, that it chose as its vehicle for goodness in the world, us and our astounding humanity. And I'm grateful for that itself, humanity that can't be destroyed, that is always expressing. And I celebrate our humanity, our goodness, and I give thanks for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, my one human family, our one human family. And with love and gratitude, I release these words. I release them into that creative alchemy, knowing that it is done already, because who we are becoming is who we already are. I let it go and let it be, and so it is.
And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.